And it is.
You know, there's a special connection between our theme and our first guest. Do you know what it is, Ellen?
No. What is it?
Well, that, you know who plays that theme, right?
No.
Harry Nilsson. That's a Harry Nilsson song.
Uh-huh.
And our first guest has appeared on Harry Nilsson albums.
I didn't know this.
That's right. That's right. And probably I've forgotten the tunes that I played on. You know, the way we worked in Hollywood, you sometimes never knew what the finished product was going to be or even who the artist was that when you made a track.
Well, let's tell our listening audience who our artist is right here in the studio.
I will indeed, though some of our listening audience may
recognize
the voice. It's Lincoln Mayorga.
Yes, it is.
Who is also a programmer here, but known better for being...
Thank you.
Oh, all the crowd is gathering. Lincoln is known... for being a musician before he is known as a programmer at WGXC.
The Monday matinee that he sometimes hosts alone or with his wife, Shelley Bauer Mayorga, who also sometimes hosts it alone. And Lincoln has, if I may call you Lincoln, has had a long career as a studio musician in California. In New York, too, did you?
Principally California,
yeah. And there you have it. Harry Nilsson, long gone, dead. Lincoln Mayorga, very much alive, and right here in our studio.
That's right. And he's going to be playing Chopin at PS21, performing Spaces for the 21st Century up in Chatham.
Boy, you got that down.
Well, they seem to be calling themselves the longer name rather than PS21. PS21 sounds like a public school. You know, to some people.
Well, yeah.
So I think that's why they've switched to the...
Well, I always get confused with the art space in Queens.
That's right. PS21.
21 or 1,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
I think that's a 21, too.
And that was a public school.
Yes.
The PS did stand for
right.
Public school.
So do we all know what PS21 stands for?
Well, I'm leaving it to Ellen.
Public Spaces for the 21st Century.
I think it's performing...
Oh, performing spaces. I said public. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not sure of that, but I think it's
Wait
performing.
Wait a minute. I have the brochure right here.
Well, that should help.
Performance spaces for the 21st
there
century.
There you go.
Performance spaces.
And that's in Ghent?
In Chatham.
That's in Chatham.
Chatham, yeah. Sorry.
1 mile north of the village of Chatham.
And
in an apple orchard.
Lincoln Mayorga will be playing Chopin.
That's right.
A full concert of just Chopin?
Yes. It's a program that I have called Chopin and Candlelight. It's a program in which I play all of the 26 preludes that Chopin wrote for piano. The 24 are part of a sequence, one for each of the keys. And we intersperse these pieces with the letters of Chopin and his lover, George Sand, read by two very distinguished actors in our community, Nancy Rothman and Martin Anderson, both of whom have worked a great deal with the Actors Ensemble here. So they'll be reading the letters, Nancy as George Sand and Martin as Chopin, and I'll be playing the music.
And that's on Sunday, this coming Sunday, right?
Yes, at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Do you think that diminishes the music to have the reading in front of it like that?
Well, if I thought it did, I wouldn't do it. And we're experimenting now.
Okay.
I have in the past taken the role of Chopin where I read and then I play.
Ah.
And Nancy reads and then I play. And Susan suggested that perhaps it was a distraction for me to read as well as play. So we decided we would try it this way, and we haven't even had our first rehearsal, so we'll see how it's going to work out.
Do we have any of that music we can
play?
Oh,
yes, we do,
our...
Ellen, as you well know. I guess that was just a lead-in, right?
Well, I think you are very good at the segue yourself. So.
Yes, the art. I try to make it artless. No.
Well, and mine was not.
No, it was
so
perfect.
So sorry.
It was perfect. It was perfect. Well, now that we've satisfied that, let's play.
These are selected preludes.
Selected preludes, and this is the first cut, number one in C major, Agitato. We'll segue right into number two in A minor, Lento.
This is a very strange piece. In which I recorded this is rather distinguished. It is stage one at MGM Studios, where all the tap dancing was recorded for Gene Kelly and Judy Garland, and I loved the acoustics, and so I brought my piano there and we recorded there quite a bit.
Is this in Hollywood?
It's actually Culver City, which is essentially Hollywood. They've renamed it the Streisand Stage. They named it after Barbara Streisand.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
That was the number 8 prelude in F-sharp minor, Molto Agitato, Ellen. And before that, we heard number 4 in E minor, Allegro. So on your CD, you've recorded all the preludes. What in this program you're going to do at PS21, how many selections will there be?
Well, besides the 24 preludes, there is a prelude opus 45. It stands alone. It's a lyrical, slow piece in C-sharp minor. And then there's a very interesting piece. It's a posthumous prelude, which was discovered in 1918. Very short, very brilliant little piece, cheerful, and over before you know it. And I'll probably open the program with a Chopin Nocturne, just to kind of open the turn to the first page of the book, so to speak.
You called the second piece odd. What was odd about it?
I said, it is hard to tell where he's going with it, what key he's going to end up in. It's dissonant. It doesn't really readily have a tonal center, so it sounds a lot like a 20th century piece of music. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit, I would say it's definitely tragic in its mood. It's a quite a it's a mystery piece, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I still find it quite mysterious.
Is this a concert you've done before, or is this?
Yes, I've done it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Nancy Rothman has done several of them with me in different locations around the country.
Yeah. So the selections from the letters have been sort of carefully honed and edited over time?
Yes. Yeah, that was put together by my good friend, the musicologist William Malik. He compiled all those quotes.
Mm-hmm.
He made it more cohesive than it would have been if you just arbitrarily read.
Do you have like a more general reason what attracts you to Chopin,
Chopin for me is essential in a way that other composers are not essential for a pianist. I've often thought, people ask, what would you consider your desert island composer if you only had one composer that you could take with you to the desert island? Who would it be? Well, of course, there are many composers I dearly love. I love Mozart, I love Brahms, I love George Gershwin, I love Beethoven. But there's only one that I couldn't live without as a pianist, and that's Chopin.
And is that because of the challenges he presents to you as a performer, or because of your sense of him as a listener?
It's because of his heart. There's a heart quality, an intensely personal quality. He speaks directly from his heart to the heart of the listener, like no other composer, really. There's no intellectual, interface. There's no necessity for interpretation, for
getting in between you, the listener, and the performance.
Yes, it's directly. There's a direct connection immediately, and the audiences, they get it right away. It's not just for pianists. Incidentally, he's a big challenge technically, perhaps more than many others. Arthur Rubinstein said that he could play the most brilliant piece by Franz Liszt and be not the least bit phased or tired. He said, but he'd finish a sonata by Chopin and he'd be totally exhausted and wrung out. He's very intense, not only emotionally, but physically.
Ellen, do you want to tell our listeners one more time where this is going to happen?
Yes.
Is it a one-time show, or is there multiple performances? Just one performance?
One performance.
Oh.
Only at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Excuse me.
At PS21, Performance Spaces for the 21st Century, the big outdoor... obviously outdoor tent, isn't it still?
Yes,
in the tent?
They had hoped to have the new concert hall, the interior space ready, but not quite. I haven't seen it yet. I understand it's nearly completed. So this will be in the tent as usual.
Is this the kickoff event, Ellen?
No, not quite. Oh. There's a klezmer performance on, Alicia, they call it the opening night, Saturday, the day before, at 8 o'clock.
Alicia Svigal will be playing. She's a brilliant, brilliant klezmer violinist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was the founder of the Klezmatics. You've heard of the Klezmatics, sure. Right? Do you think there are any tickets left at this late date?
I don't know.
But the place to call to find out is 518-392-6121. Or you can go online at ps21chatham.org.
Well, Ellen, we're going to play one more piece.
Oh, good.
And I know you're going to love to hear me pronounce this. It is number 24 in D minor, Allegro Appassionato.
Oh, I'm swooning.
That was Lincoln Mayorga performing a prelude from Chopin. We've been talking with Mr. Mayorga right here at WGXC. He's performing this Sunday at 2 p.m. at PS21. And, you know, he's had a long and distinguished career in music that he has capped off by being a WGXC programmer.
That's right. That's the high point of my career.
Well, sadly enough, it is for me and Ellen, but so tickets, we hope, are still available if you're interested, and thank you for coming in.
Well, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
And everybody who comes to the concert, make sure you come back and see me. You know, who knows, I might have a peanut butter cookie for you or something.
No.
You never know.
Oh, free cookies?
You might.
Or is it a little side business you keep on?
Lincoln, thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
It's nice of you.
I'm going to listen to your whole show today on my way home.
You might want to rethink that. No, okay. Do we have more guests, Ellen?
We do have more guests. Oh, okay. We have people coming from the Ankrum Opera House, where they have just installed air conditioning.
I didn't know Ankrum had an opera house.
Well, it used to be a Grange Hall.
It's no Henry Hudson Hall.
I can see what you think of that.
The Ankrum Opera House name was given to that building. I don't know. I don't think it was built as an opera house. But
everybody ought to have an opera. Every town should have an opera house.
That's right.
When you go out west, you'll see the towns that had opera houses where they were mining gold during the daytime going to the opera at night.
It's truly amazing when you read about that Western, both opera and drama. I mean, the touring companies. I mean, even Oscar Wilde's Tour of America stopped at these saloon and opera houses. And it was like...
Combination.
Just imagine that, you know?
Yeah. Bring back the opera house.
Yeah.
Well, it was built as... in Hudson, that upstairs performance space was built as a lecture hall.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
But and there were lots of lecturers that came through, but they did all other kinds of things, too. They had poultry shows, boxing matches.
Really?
Yes.
Poultry shows.
Yeah.
My goodness, where did the poultry hang out?
In their little cages, probably. But and not much opera came through.
Well, it's a fine space now.
Yeah.
Well, Ellen. Should we play some Chopin as we escort our guest?
Yes, we should.
Out? We'll play a little more.
I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Oh, in that case, we have to. I mean, you know. Hold on a second. Let's get some.
There's one we played that sounded very, very familiar. I'm sure it's.
Well, I'll say goodbye to your audience at this juncture because I have to hit the road.
Okay. Thank you. Lincoln Mayorga, Sunday in Chatham. And we will say goodbye now.
What does one say? Break a...